An insider breaks down the numbers of Cessna and Columbia. The FAA says we were safer last year. But do government agencies give us the whole story? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, October 30th, 2007. No matter how you run the numbers, Cessna's offer for certain assets and liabilities of the now bankrupt Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing is bargain basement. One of the more interesting people to run those numbers would be Rich Belzer, formerly Columbia's VP of Sales, and now a member of the list of Columbia's unsecured creditors. Rich actually has run those numbers and has contributed an analysis piece for Aero News readers. You can read it on our website at aero-news.net. Rich starts out with the $24.5 million cited in the purchase and sale agreement recently executed between Columbia and Cessna, and assumes full valuation and payment for inventory, customer deposits, and potential warranty claims. According to Rich, what's left is $1.5 million, which he calculates is what Cessna is actually paying for the Columbia type certificates. Rich also offers analysis of the Columbia sales and marketing scenario as administered under the interim management of Bridge Associates, and closes with the observation that Cessna will likely have to pay much more than specified in the agreement, given the likely presence of three competing bidders November 27th. As we have up to this point, ANN will continue to watch this story for you closely. The Federal Aviation Administration announced on Monday that the number of fatal general aviation accidents declined by 5% for the fiscal year ending September 30th. The FAA's stated goal was no more than 331 GA fatals. The actual number was 314. The total number of people who died in GA accidents also declined about 20% from year to year, from 676 to 564. For the purposes of this report, general aviation included not only privately flown planes, but also non-scheduled air taxi flights. Nicholas Sabatini, FAA Associate Administrator for Aviation Safety, credits technology and training improvements. Quote, "In particular, manufacturers are providing sophisticated technology, like GPS and glass cockpits, and the training to go with them, and the FAA is vigorously encouraging adoption of these safety enhancements," unquote. The FAA safety team, which is the program devoted to improving the aviation safety culture, has been running for 37 years now. In the 1990s, it grew to include aviation maintenance technicians. The fiscal year 2007 safety report, which appeared on the FAA's website, is certainly good news, but does it really demonstrate we're safer? If the whole point of safety statistics is to draw conclusions about our personal risks when we step into the cockpit, then the number of accidents or deaths is only the numerator of a fraction. To derive an accident rate, we need the denominator. That would be hours flown, and the FAA didn't mention that number. The New York Times drew a parallel Sunday between the recent cover-up of a four-year safety survey by NASA and the attitude of the government in general about safety reporting. NASA refused to release the data to the Associated Press, and Associate NASA Administrator Thomas Luedtke explained that the numbers, quote, "could materially affect the public confidence in and the commercial welfare of the air carriers and general aviation companies whose pilots participated in the survey," unquote. The paper notes that the FAA's mission when it was created was in part to promote aviation. That language was dropped in 1996 over concerns that the FAA's regulatory function would be compromised if it was also tasked with being a cheerleader. But the bias may not have ended with a change in wording. The Times observes that in 760 million passenger miles flown last year on U.S. airlines, there was just one death, and that was a mechanic who fell while working on a parked 737. So, from now on, the FAA will include only deaths among passengers and crew, producing an even lower number. NASA says it will likely drop plans to have STS-120 astronauts test a shuttle heat shield repair technique because it found a more pressing problem. One of the huge rotary joints that allow the International Space Station's solar panel arrays to rotate and track the sun's position has had a problem for months. When spacewalker Dan Tanney was sent out to investigate on Sunday, he found bits of metal scraping surrounding the 10-foot diameter joint. Station Commander Peggy Whitson is a biochemist, and conducting a preliminary experiment on Monday, she discovered that the metal bits contained iron, which means the joint itself is deteriorating. If you changed your car's oil and found little pieces of steel in it, you'd have to park the car until you could fix it or risk much more serious damage. Same thing here. The solar array has been locked in position. This will temporarily stop the joint from grinding away, but will also reduce the solar power available on the station. NASA managers say a permanent fix is needed before the Japanese science laboratory, Kibo, arrives at the space station next year, requiring an increased power budget. Up next on ANN, Dreamliner delays start backing up the supply chain. Orlando finds a way to handle growing traffic for less. And Southwest is tinkering with a cattle call. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 30th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing has explained all along how its 787 Dreamliner will achieve its goals through a finely choreographed ballet of parts arriving just in time from suppliers worldwide. So it's not surprising that Boeing's announcement of a six-month delay in rollout of the 787 is now backing up through the supply chain. In Italy, where the Alenia Aeronautica division of Finmeccanica is charged with building 14% of the 787's fuselage components, spokesman Maurizio Rossini told Bloomberg on Friday that all parts have been delivered for the first six planes, but parts for 12 more, in various stages of completion, will have to be stored until Boeing gives the green light to move on. Fortunately, Alenia has storage space, and maybe even other work to stay busy. The company hopes to be involved as a partner on the Airbus A350XWB. Orlando, Florida has the busiest airport in a state which continues to see a steady influx of new residents, and it's the closest major airport to several major vacation attractions. This keeps traffic at MCO growing at rates at least as high as the airline industry's average, and the airport is now expected to max out its passenger capacity in 2010. A new south terminal has been on the drawing board for years and was thought to become a necessity when passenger volume hit 40 million per year. But now the airport authority believes it's found $400 million worth of small enhancements and technology improvements, which could let it delay building the $2 billion terminal till 2015. When traffic hits 45 million. The upgrades needed immediately are in security, ticketing, and baggage. Saving 80% of the cost of a new terminal is great, but it'll still need to be built at some time in the future. Orlando's traffic keeps growing at 3% per year, and several carriers are announcing new international service, which was planned as the major role for that new south terminal. Southwest Airlines has been famous, or infamous, for a number of quirks over the years. The stewardesses in hot pants are long gone, and now the boarding system frequent flyers term the cattle call is on the way out as well. Not everyone's happy about that. Up until now, Southwest has divided passenger groups into three lines labeled A, B, and C based on time of check-in and called to board in that order. But before anyone else boarded, families with children were allowed to board so they could still find seats together. This month, the policy changed to allow A-list passengers to board first, then families. USA Today columnist David Grossman was on one of these flights and says the flight was actually delayed while flight attendants tried to get volunteers to vacate rows for families. Starting on November 8th, when you check in, you'll get A, B, or C, but also a number within the letter group which specifies your place in line. That means flyers with the requisite discipline can check in online 24 hours ahead and get an early seat choice without a long wait at the airport. That'll certainly be seen as a plus for business travelers on a schedule. But it also means families wanting seats together on the trip home from a vacation probably better pack a laptop so they can check in 24 hours early from the hotel. Residents of Long Island have got Senator Charles Schumer's attention with complaints about increasing numbers and decreasing consideration among helicopter operators. Clogged highways appear to be driving more business and personal travelers who can afford it to helicopter shuttles around Metro New York, and residents are getting tired of having their dishes and windows rattled. Newsday cites local reports that helicopter traffic is up 100% in the last decade over East Hampton and up 35% just in the last year over West Hampton Beach. Some local governments in the area, obviously not well-versed in the idea of federal preemption, have discussed local laws regulating how low helicopters can fly over residential areas. Schumer says noise abatement measures are overdue. Quote, now is the time to act, unquote. Still ahead, British surfers are mad at British Airways. NASA promises to release info on a 1965 UFO incident. And if you disrespect my dog, you're going to get cussed out. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, October 30th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. If you're an avid surfer and you live in England, then you must be a traveler. The British Surfing Association boasts more than 10,000 members, and they're all hopping mad right now. British Airways just added surfboards to a list of items no longer accepted in checked bags. Quote, due to the large size and handling complexities, some sporting equipment cannot be accommodated. Please contact your local freight company to arrange carriage for any items that exceed the permitted weight and size, unquote. Karen Walton, the British Surfing Association's director, said she was extremely shocked, especially since the airline will still accept golf clubs and even large musical instruments. Quote, we therefore feel completely let down and angered by the news that our national airline is banning surfboards, rather than following some other airlines and charging a supplementary fee. We can only imagine that many more of BA's frequent flyer executive club members are golfers or musicians than surfers, and that the decision to ban surfboards is a commercial one made on this basis, unquote. Hey, you know what? Life's just not fair. If you live in the UK, you can't get to the good waves in a 34 wagon and they call it a Woody. The Kansas City Star reports NASA has ended a federal court fight and agreed to search its archives once again for documents on a 1965 UFO incident in Pennsylvania. A meteor, or meteors, was the official government explanation. But eyewitnesses said a flatbed truck drove off with a large metal object shaped like an acorn and about the size of a Volkswagen bus. Today, a mock-up based on the descriptions of local residents sits behind the Kecksburg Volunteer Fire Department. Journalist Leslie Keene of New York City sued NASA 4 years ago for information. District Judge Emmett Sullivan rejected NASA's request to dismiss, and negotiations led to the agency's promise of a more comprehensive search of its records. Keene said that she sued NASA rather than the Army because a decade ago, the Army actually did release some relevant documents. Country music star Gretchen Wilson admits she cussed out a commercial flight attendant on a recent flight to Los Angeles from her native Nashville, Tennessee. Wilson told World Entertainment News, quote, it all started over keeping my dog under the seat. And there were other dogs on the plane that weren't forced to stay in their kennel, but I was being forced to keep my dog in mine. I took about as much as I could take, and then I finally cussed her. That's country music. It's interesting to hear how the story has evolved. I've heard people say I had a pit bull on that flight, unquote. For non-country fans, Gretchen's best-known song is Redneck Woman. Imagine that. Finally, the world's first commercially flown Airbus A380 was outfitted by Singapore Airlines with a dozen luxury suites, complete with king-sized beds, and apparently as much champagne as you want. But there better not be any hanky-panky, or flight attendants will intervene. Or, as Singapore Airlines spokesman Stephen Forshaw puts it, quote, the rules for behavior in our double beds are the same ones that apply throughout the aircraft. If couples used our double beds to engage in inappropriate activity, we would politely ask them to desist, unquote. The first booking of one of the suites came on that first charity flight between Sydney and Singapore. Tony and Julie Elwood from Perth, Australia, booked the suite. Tony, who's 76, seemed surprised by the rule. Quote, seems a bit strange, unquote. Actor Ralph Fiennes couldn't be reached for comment. What I really want to know is that other rumor, that you'll be caned if you chew gum on board? Okay, I made that last part up. But that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is John Uzakai, President and CEO of Aspen Avionics. The company is selling a lot of copies of its Evolution modular glass panel and just moved into a big new headquarters and manufacturing facility in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.